Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
What's up, everybody? My name is Pastor Jim, and I'm one of the pastors here. And welcome to Wednesday night at VBF. I want to say hello to anybody that is watching online via Facebook or live stream. We're always amazed at how many people from all kinds of different places in the world tune in to little old Bakersfield, California, to see what God is up to in this amazing city. And we are in the middle of summer, and I don't know how many of you have maybe done a little getaway and gotten away from the desert. Maybe you went to the mountains, maybe you went to the beach. Last Friday night, I was at a Dodger game, and I felt the earth quaking below me. One of my leaders on the new campus said, I was praying at 8:30 for you, Pastor Jim. And I go, wow, man, you made the whole earth shake, man. I need you to pray for me some more. That was a bad joke. It's kind of serious, huh? But hey, we are in a series called Summer in the Psalms, and we have been coincidentally studying the book of Psalms in our daily reading. So if you follow our daily reading cards, you know for the last 3 or 4 months, we have been in the book of Psalms, which is coming to an end as of this week. And so I thought tonight would be a good night to present to you one of the most, if not the most, read, the most known, the most loved chapters in the entire Bible, Psalm 23. Have you heard of it? Yeah, a lot of you, that was that video. Besides you feeling like maybe you were at some kind of a EDC event or something, I don't know. That was Psalm 23. And it was written by David, who wrote about half of the Psalms that we have grown to love for thousands of years. But Psalm 23 just really resonates a little bit more than the other Psalms as people have read it throughout all of these years that it's been in our Bibles and even before that. So I want to talk about it tonight because I believe there's a reason why it's so loved and why it's so known, because there are so many benefits that are packed in these 6 verses. It's like a concentrated version of the goodness and the power of God. So it's in 6 verses, but as I was doing my notes and I was preparing for this message, I said, man, Lord, 6 verses, man, I could teach like 6 weeks on Psalm 23. So we're gonna try to get this down into about a 30-minute message, and we're gonna go really rapidly. So if you have your Bibles, if you have a smartphone with the Bible app on it, you might wanna get open to Psalm 23, because we're really gonna go verse by verse through the Psalm. And starts off, Psalm 23, verse 1, it kind of starts off by setting the tone for the remaining part of the psalm. And you know, David, who we read about in the Bible, we know that he was in trouble a lot, and he would cry out to God a lot, and God would just, you know, have this favor for David's life. And this is more than likely a moment in his life where he's struggling. He's in a pit of despair. He's kind of working out some problems and going through some difficulties. So can anybody relate to that tonight? He's facing some issues in his life, and he's recalibrating his soul, as we've been talking about how he often did in the book of Psalms. But check this out. In verse 1, I'm going to read to you what it says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I want to focus this whole entire psalm on this idea that David is calling God his personal shepherd. He personalizes this. Now, To have the Lord as a shepherd is not a new idea. When David's writing this down, it's not a new idea. Matter of fact, there's many references in the Bible from Genesis all the way to Revelation that identify God or the Lord as a shepherd. But this is really powerful for David because he had life experience as a shepherd. So he was using this metaphor, considering his own experience as being a shepherd, going, you know what? As I led sheep and as I did this, man, I can relate that this is the kind of relationship that God wants to have with me. Like, I'm a sheep and he is my shepherd. Now, I know some of you, we may lose you in the translation of shepherd because you don't have any experience with sheep. You haven't like tended sheep. I don't know how many of you were ever involved in the 4-H or maybe FFA or you've done some projects, maybe taken some sheep to the fair. I did. My dad, I'm so, you know, as I look back at my childhood, one of the fondest memories I have is going to the fair, bringing the sheep. I brought a steer one year. I have a picture of the year that I had a sheep. Now, this is little Jimmy. Jimmy had a little lamb, and I don't know what the name of the lamb was. Somebody said it's lamb chop. But I will tell you that even as a little boy, and this is many decades ago, that even as a little boy, it really had a profound impact on my life, just to kind of care for a sheep and just to kind of see the tendencies that a sheep has. And I think it's so interesting that out of all the animals in the Bible, the one animal that the Bible compares us most to as humans is sheep. And I've often thought, like, why? Like, God, out of all the animals, like, why do you reference us as people as sheep? And I was reading one commentator's kind of view on it, and he said, you know, sheep, besides not being the most intelligent animal, sheep have three main factors that really cross over and really give a good comparison why God would look at us as sheep so much. Number one is sheep are very defenseless. You know, you haven't seen a sheep really, you know, attack another animal with its vicious teeth and, you know, just chop, you know, a big old chunk out of another animal. It's like sheep don't have those kind of teeth and they're very defenseless. And so they need a shepherd to kind of watch over them because all these predators that look at sheep as lunch or as dinner, and so they're defenseless. The second thing that we see with sheep is that they really are good followers. And so if a shepherd trains some sheep correctly, they will just follow him. They'll know his voice and they'll be able to say, we need to follow that guy. But even if there's not a shepherd, if there is an alpha sheep there, then they will mindlessly follow that head sheep. It's interesting. Even if the sheep is like literally going off a cliff, sheep will just kind of go with the leader and they will find themselves going over the cliff if they're not careful. So they kind of follow the other sheep. Now, the other third thing, and I find interesting, is that they are prone to wander. So they can kind of get lost. They can jump away and break away from the pack. And so the shepherd kind of needs to, hey, get back in the pack and get back here. We're going somewhere. And if you think about us as people, you think about this, that, man, we're being attacked all the time. Even though we can defend ourselves physically, there's a lot of times that things, difficulties pop up, and we don't know how to defend ourselves emotionally. We don't know how to defend ourselves maybe mentally in some of these spaces that we find ourselves in. And so in those capacities, you could be the hardest dude, you could be the toughest woman in Bakersfield, but you're really still defenseless when it comes to these internal battles that are taking place in your life. And if you think about us, we tend to kind of go with the crowd. And if somebody's doing something, we will tend to pick up on it and we will do it too. And so we're kind of, we kind of follow each other. We follow trends. We follow different, you know, media things. And we all kind of do what everyone else is doing. And the third thing is we kind of get lost too. And we can have every good intention of going from A to B, but if we're really honest, all of us have ADD to a degree. Attention deficit disorder. And I don't mean to minimize that diagnosis if somebody here has that diagnosis. But really, honestly, we all kind of suffer from that to a degree that we get distracted easily. And so we can have every of our best intentions to stay with God and to do what he wants us to do with our lives. But then this littlest thing kind of, you know, starts shining and we're like, oh, squirrel. And we run away and we get off path. And so it makes sense to me that we're compared to sheep so much. But here David is saying, okay, I follow this analogy. I know what it's like to be a shepherd and have sheep. And I know that God really wants me to put him in place in my life where he's leading my life like a shepherd. So maybe the term shepherd kind of loses you. Let's insert another word. How about captain? The Lord is my captain. How about the Lord is my shot caller? The Lord is my leader for my life. Just think of it in those terms. Now, what's interesting to me is that Jesus in his earthly ministry, if you fast forward to the Gospel of John, he connects this idea that David starts, you know, kind of picking up in Psalm 23. And see, David had an idea of what God was like because he hung out with the Lord and he had a really good prayer time, devotional time. He would connect with God in powerful ways. But he didn't really know what God was like. Nobody really knew what God was like until Jesus Christ showed up on scene. And this is what Hebrews tells us what that did. So when Jesus shows up on scene, in Hebrews 1 verse 3, it says, the Son, Jesus, radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. So what Hebrews is telling us is that even though David and every Old Testament character that we've ever studied and read about, they had ideas of God, we have 20/20 hindsight vision here because we know exactly what God is like because he was revealed completely in Jesus Christ. So with this in mind, Jesus shows up in John chapter 10 and he says this. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says, I'm the good shepherd. Now, what I want to show you tonight in this brief time that we have together is that when you actually position your life and you allow Jesus to be your good shepherd, when you personalize that as David had personalized it for his life, when you personalize that Jesus isn't just a good shepherd or the good shepherd, he's my good shepherd, everything in your life is gonna change. Everything in your life that you know is gonna change. And there are many, many people here tonight that can attest to you personally, experientially, that when they made Jesus Christ the leader of their life changed for the better. That's what we want to talk about tonight. And say, well, I've been going to church all my life and I've made Jesus the shepherd of my life, then I don't see any real changes in my life. See, you have to understand something. When you make Jesus your shepherd, what you're doing is you're saying, I'm surrendering my authority to the authority of Jesus. And the reason a lot of times Christianity doesn't work for people is they're not really positioning Jesus in that authoritative role in their life. They have Jesus in their life, but he's not leading their life. Jesus is more like in their pocket. Say hello to my little friend. This is little Jesus. Hi. Now, what I want to show you, and some of you guys that have been attending here for a while, you're like, here he goes again, all right? Because I bring him out every once in a while. Because he's a reminder to all of us that if we're not careful, we can have just enough Jesus that we kind of feel good about ourselves. but not enough of Jesus that he actually has influence into every aspect of our lives. See, most people, they like the concept of Jesus so as far as to make themselves feel better if they blow it, that he's there to forgive them. I forgive you, all right? Or if they die, they're, you know, like, hey, Jesus in my pocket, I'm good. But they fall short of coming to this place of saying, Jesus, you're my leader. Like you're not in my pocket. I'm in your pocket. And you don't go where I want to go. I go where you want me to go. And you see the difference here. And this is the problem with so many people. As I'm ministering to people all the time, and I start hearing problems in their life, and I start just listening to some of the things that are going on, the details of the problems, and I'm realizing that not every problem that you have is self-inflicted, but a lot of the issues that we are dealing with today stem from one thing. We're horrible managers of our own lives. Why don't you turn to your neighbor right now and say, I'm a horrible manager of my life. Just, and you can look back and say, I already knew that. I'm married to you. No. but no, seriously. Like, I really want us to camp out on Psalm 23 because David is saying, hey, man, when you really stop making Jesus pocket Jesus and you start making Jesus shepherd Jesus, everything is going to change for the better for your life. Your relationships, your health, every aspect of your life is going to get better. So listen to this, your 12 benefits of letting Jesus lead your life. Let's go over this first verse. Let's go back to this here. He's my provider. That's number one. He's, put that slide back up. Write that down. First benefit, he's my provider. That when Jesus is leader, shepherd, captain, he's my provider. You're off the hook. Some of you came in here tonight going, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what's going to happen. You know what? When Jesus is captain, it's his problem, not yours. So stop worrying about it. He's going to provide for you. And he's going to give you the wisdom to know what you should do. Let's read this verse. It says, I shall not want. I love how the New Living Translation writes this out. He says, I have all that I need. See, the big problem that we have in America is we've translated wants into actual needs, but they're not real needs. You go to a third world nation tonight and you will see real needs. See, if we're real honest with ourselves, we have everything we need. There's always room for wants, right? You can think of something that you want, I'm sure, a new car, maybe a new house, maybe you don't want something, you know, new and improved, but here's what God is trying to get to us. When you set me up as the leader of your life, I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish everything I've called you to do. Okay? I heard it said like this, where God guides, he provides. So when provision doesn't come, then you have to step back and you have to ask yourself a very serious question. Did God really call me to this? Did God really bring me into the space? Because if he did, then there should be provision. The name of the Lord is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. So if the provision is not there, then you have to revisit the vision. And maybe the provision is not there because you have somehow gotten off path. Let's be real. And instead of accusing God of not meeting your needs, maybe you're in a position that he hasn't called you to be at. So the first thing you have to understand, the first benefit is that he provides. So when you are letting him lead your life, he's going to guide you. Now, don't be like Tara and I when we first got married. We thought God was our provider every time we would do a credit card application and they would approve us for a new credit card. We're like, he's providing for us. No, that was immature spirituality on my part and on my wife's part. He's not going to just give you a credit card, but he will maybe give you a raise, or maybe he'll put it on your boss's heart to, you know, do help you financially in other capacities, or maybe he's telling you to tighten your belt because, you know, there's going to be some time before the increase comes. And so just know that God is never in a hurry. Can I just speak that out to somebody's heart tonight? God is never in a hurry. We're like, I need it, God, I need it, God. He's like, I'll bring it to you when it's time. It's not time yet. And we get so impatient with God because we haven't had what we need or we feel that we need in 30 minutes or less. Come on, somebody. Amen. He hasn't come yet. Well, you just prayed that 30 days ago. That's a pretty big prayer. You know, maybe that prayer is going to take some time to cultivate it. But he is our provider. Let's go to verse 2. It says, he gives me rest. We'll do that too. We'll go second benefit there. He gives me rest. You know, rest is God's idea. It's not your idea, it's God's idea. Even God rested. And some of you are so proud of yourselves, like, I haven't taken a vacation in 7 years. Yeah, and we could see it on your face. You need a vacation, bro. Thus saith the Lord, right? He gives us rest. So check out this verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside quiet waters. Let's just focus. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I like how David is saying this. Like, David, I could just tell from just reading about his life, he's type A guy. And if you're a type A personality, you are always busy. You're always plotting, planning. Before you even finish one assignment, you're already thinking about the next one. Who am I talking to tonight? How many type A's do I have in the house tonight? You're like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, it's hard for you to sit still. And all the type B people are like, what's your problem, dude? Just kick it on the couch. And what's funny is type A's normally marry type B's. Yeah, but I think that's the Lord. Because the type B's need a little motivation, and the type A's need somebody to help slow them down and rest. So if you have a type B spouse, you need to listen to them because they're trying to help you. Because the shepherd is going to make you lie down in green pastures. And that just seems so weird. Like, he's gonna make you lie down in green pastures. Now, think about it. David is in the desert. Green pastures are not very prevalent, all right? Population-wise, you're talking about 96% all dirt. What I think of is Vegas. I think of that whole Nevada, you know, thinking of driving from here to Vegas, and it's like, there, nothing grows out there, man. Nothing grows. It's just all desert. But yet, even in Vegas, there's little green pastures, little plots where the meadows are just kind of coming together, and there's just like this water reserve there, and this green grass is growing. It almost looks like a mirage. And the Lord's, or David's like, the Lord kind of takes me out of the desert and he makes me lie down. He makes me be still in a good place. What's frustrating is God has brought a lot of us into good places, and we're so busy thinking about the next place that we need to go that we don't enjoy the place that he has us at now. I'm trying to do this more. I'm trying to recognize the green pastures that the Lord is allowing me to rest in before I leave it, because they're not always green pastures. And we're not always being, you know, given the rest there. So don't take it for granted when it's in front of you. I'm the kind of guy that I can't sit still. Even when I'm sitting still, my foot's moving, my leg's moving, my arm's moving. I'm that guy. You know, I'm just always thinking, you know, what are we going to do next? And so my wife knows this, and we were visiting the beach a couple of weeks ago, and we were walking the beach, and she goes, I just like to sit and just, you know, just let the ocean noises just kind of fill my ears, and And she goes, but you wouldn't want to do that because you have a hard time sitting still. I go, no, babe. See, this is the thing. I know that the Lord wants me to rest. I know this is the shepherd's command. Because here's the problem. If we fail to heed the rest, eventually he will make us rest. And sometimes that comes in the form of stuff going wrong, maybe body's not feeling good. How many of you, maybe this last season, got the flu or the cold, and you were like, oh man, I can't go to work. And then you sat down, and maybe you turned the TV on, maybe you just like had nothing in your head because you had all that snot going around in your sinuses, and you're just like, this feels really nice. I should get sick more often. I don't know if you had one of those. I had one of those times this year where I'm like, wow, like my body was actually getting sick, and God was using that space, not maybe causing that space as much as using that to say, Jim, I want you to rest. Don't feel like a martyr because you never get to rest. Like, resting was my idea. Just know that. That man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. Like, you're supposed to rest. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. He wants you to rest. Some of you, you need to heed the warning. You need to rest. Your body needs to reset as well as your spirit. And if you don't, eventually your body is going to malfunction and it's going to demand that you rest. God's wired us to rest. Can you receive that tonight? Here's the third benefit. Write this down. He gives me refreshment. He gives me refreshment. Let's read that verse again. It says, he guides me. Let's go to verse 2. He leads me beside quiet waters. That word is literally translated in the Hebrew, still. Just like, it's just calm. And the waters represent this place where you can, right, get some drink. Because you're thirsty, because life has kind of made you thirsty. And there's a quenching effect that God does when you sit with him and when you allow him to pour into your life. There's a refreshing that takes place. And see, some of you, because Jesus is not your shepherd, you're running so hard and you're not refreshing yourself. And now all the stuff in the world looks enticing to you. Why? Because you're thirsty. And you haven't been filled up by God. You haven't let him give you the drink of life from his fountain of living water. And so you're going around going, man, anything. Have you ever been so hot and so tired, maybe working outside and your body's perspiring, you just know, like, you're just hot, and you go in the house, and when you are so, like, so thirsty, you will literally grab anything that is liquid in your refrigerator. Come on, you know, you men, you know that you've been working in the yard. I just did this yesterday. I was working in there. I'm like, I just opened the fridge and, like, whatever's in there, I'm gonna drink it. I don't care what it is. And it happened to be some cran apple, so I was good. But that's kind of what I'm talking about here. When we're sitting with God, he's like filling us up. He's refreshing us. So one of the things that you're going to have, one of the benefits you're going to have, is when you're letting Christ lead your life, when you're sitting with him and listening to what he has to say, he's refreshing you as a person. He's pouring into you. So you're rested, you're refreshed. And then here's the fourth thing. He gives me restoration. So you're rested, you're refreshed, and now he wants to restore you. Let's look at that verse. It says, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. There's a restoration that takes place when Jesus is leading your life. I worked at a veterinary hospital in high school. I was studying to be a veterinarian in college. And so I've been around the whole veterinary medical world for quite a few years. And one of the most bizarre kind of medical things that happen, and especially around our area, are little foxtails getting in your dog's paws, between their toes, sometimes even in their ears, sometimes even in their noses. And you know, this just happens when, you know, dogs are just kind of maybe going through maybe the bluffs, or they're going through a bunch of weeds, and they'll come back, they're limping, or they're sneezing, or maybe they're shaking their head violently. You're like, what's wrong with Fido? And you're not even knowing what happened. But what happened, this little foxtail worked its way inside between his toes and got inside and penetrated inside of his inner skin, and it's working its way up his leg. Foxtails can actually work their way all the way inside of your pet to where your pet can literally die. Your dog can be killed by a little weed. That's trippy to me and super dangerous. But I think, wow, that's kind of like our souls. Because if you think about it, the littlest things can get inside of us and start working their thing inside of us, and it can penetrate the deepest, most inner part of who we are, and it can destroy us. Just like that foxtail for Fido. But see, what happens is when we let Jesus lead our life, he goes in and he pulls out the foxtails. He pulls out those fiery darts that the enemy has been shooting at you. And you can just be the most innocent person. You're not looking for sin. But just you being in a weedy world, you're gonna have some foxtails hit your souls. And you're gonna need the Lord to just mend you and pull those things out before they get too lodged in there and start messing up your life. Some of you tonight, by making Jesus the leader of your life, he's going to come and he's going to purge you of some of these arrows, some of these foxtails that have gotten lodged into your soul. He restores your soul. He wants to purge you and restore you so that those things are not going to hurt you any longer. Now, let's go to number five. He is my guide, helping me move in the right direction. He's my guide, helping me move in the right direction. Let's look at that verse again. It says, let's read from the Living Bible. It says, okay, all right, I'm going with you guys. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. That word righteousness pretty much means doing what's right, or right living, you might say. That's what it means. So think about it this way, that when God is in charge of your life, when Jesus is guiding, or when he's the leader of your life, he's guiding you towards the right way you should be living your life. He's your guide. I don't know how many of you have visited a city or maybe even a nation before, and you've never been there before, and you went with a tour guide. I know Shane was talking about an announcement about going to Israel. I've been to Israel a few times, and every time we go, we have a tour guide. And the tour guide really helps you identify all the different places that you're going. And I've been to places with a tour guide and the same place without a tour guide. One of the things that sticks in my mind is when my daughter was in eighth grade, we went to Washington and New York, and we saw some sites, and we didn't have a school that we were associated with at that point because we were living in Vegas. And so we saw these sites, and we just did some things, and we would go back to the hotel. But a couple years after that, I went with my son and with Valley Schools, and we went to Washington and New York, and this time we had a tour guide. And we were, like, all these places that we would just drive by as a family when I was on the trip with my daughter, I mean, this tour guide would stop and point out these things, and I was like, whoa, I, like, drove right by that. I had no idea the historical significance of this building. We drove right by it going, oh, that looks like a shack, you know, and just kept on going. I mean, when you have a tour guide in your life, he is going to help identify things that you would miss if he was not with you. And there are things in your life that you will miss if you do not have a guide showing you and giving you the inside scoop of those things that you're passing by. It's going to raise your level of awareness for life and living to a whole new level when Jesus is guiding you into this righteousness. And this is what he said in John chapter 10, verse 4, Living Bible. It says, he, the good shepherd, walks ahead of the sheep, and they follow him, for they recognize his voice. The second idea of this is that he guides on this is that the guide always goes before the sheep. The shepherd goes before the sheep. The guide goes before the people so that we can know exactly where we should go. This is what separates shepherds from cowboys. Cowboys drive cattle from behind. Shepherds lead sheep from the front. And see, what you need to understand is that the Lord is a shepherd. He's not necessarily a cowboy, all right? Sorry to disappoint you, cowboys. He's more of a shepherd. In other words, God is not going to be like a cowboy, and he's going to push you towards something. God is not a pusher. He will lead you towards something by being the example first. That's the difference. And so when he's guiding you, he's going in front of you. And Jesus lived the ultimate life, not just so that we can go to heaven, so that we can take note on the best way that God has us to live as human beings. You want to know how you should live as a human being? Look at Jesus' life. We should be Jesus-looking people living in a Jesus-looking community to do this correctly. So this is the idea that Jesus is giving us in John chapter 10, that David is giving us in Psalms 23. I'm looking at time. Let's go to the next one. Forget which one we're on, so I'm letting you guys. All right, that's a good one. All right, so following Christ, this is good. Following Christ will make your life better and will make you better at life. What this is that right living that we talked about, that righteousness, is that when you start lining yourself up with the way that he wants you to live your life is going to get better. And he's going to make you better at living your life. It's just that simple. And the reason life could be complicated is simply you're not allowing him to lead you and you're not a really good follower. I always couldn't stand that bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is my co-pilot." That is not the way it's supposed to work. Jesus is not supposed to be sitting shotgun watching you run your car into a brick wall. No, you need to be more like Carrie Underwood and say, "Jesus, take the wheel. I'm going to be riding passenger. I'm going to let you drive the car because I have a tendency to run into walls and sometimes occasionally run over people." So give him the steering wheel. Let's go to the next point. He rescues me from fear. This is a big one in our culture. I'm looking at time. I could probably spend the next hour talking about this one. But just know what it says in this verse here. This is important. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." I want to point out that even though I walk through the valley, see, everybody is going to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. Everyone here, unfortunately, is going to walk through a valley of the shadow of death. But here's the good news. You're just walking through it. You're not living in it. You're walking through it. You're not living in it. Somebody once said, when you're going through hell, keep on going. In other words, don't make your permanent address the place of the valley of the shadow of death. That's not where you live, and that's not where God is taking you, but you got to walk through it. So if you want to see victory, you got to keep on going and not give up. You walk through it. You don't live in it. That's a word for somebody here tonight. But let's put that verse back up. And it says, "I fear no evil, for you are with me." So we're going to walk through stuff, but we're going to walk through it differently, knowing that God's in charge of our life. He's with us. And so whatever kind of tension is coming against us, we know we're not dealing with it by ourselves. And as a pastor, over all of these decades that I've been a pastor, I have seen some horrible tragedies with families in this church, families in our Vegas church. Horrible. That I wouldn't wish on anybody. But yet these people that walk through these moments, God came so close to them in these moments that they had this peace that is unexplainable, this comfort that I couldn't even put into words. It was just there. God was fully present in their afflictions, in their tragedies. And it just, as a pastor kind of observing this, I'm like, whoa. And I've walked through my own tragedies, don't get me wrong, but when I observe other people and they're going through this dark time and I just see the hand of God holding people up that are just literally just melting under the weight of the circumstances that they were just told, the news that they were just given, and just see the hand of God hold them up and saying, I've got you, we're gonna do this, not by yourself, we're gonna do this together, and I tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. So you can walk through the valley of the shadow of death without any fear because you know in those moments, he's not walking with you. He's carrying you on him. He's carrying you through that time. It's like the footprints in the sands. Let's go. I hear the music, you know. He guards and guides my life. This is like the Grammys, like, you know, got to get him off the stage. He guards and guides my life. The rod and the staff, they comfort me. Why? Because the rod and the staff, the shepherd's using the rod to beat up the predators, and he's using the staff to make sure the sheep that are prone to wander get back on path. See, when the Lord is in charge of your life, there are things that you will never experience that are coming against you, and you will never know that they're coming against you because he's blocking them. Have you just thought on the tragedies that haven't happened against your life because he is your shepherd? Have you just like paused and just like, whoa, like, man, my days have been good and things, maybe in the spiritual realm, I mean, you've got angels that are busy and you're just like, man, my life is good. The angels are like tired going, man, he has no idea with the things that we've been preventing from getting to him. He's keeping things back, but he's also at the same time keeping you on path. And he gives those gentle little pokes at you. If you start getting off path, you'll start getting convicted. Maybe somebody will text you at random. Maybe one of the pastors will write you a letter. Hey, we haven't seen you. And that's a little poke. It's the Lord just say, hey, come on. I see you. I see you getting off path. I see you kind of wandering away. Come here, little sheep. Come back here. And a lot of you, maybe you're here tonight because somebody called you. You're like, hey, I haven't seen you at church. Those are God's gentle reminders in his loving way to say, hey, we're all prone to wander, so you need to get back on path. He guards and he guides. Let's go to the next one. He gives me honor and favor. Let's read that verse. He gives me honor and favor. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. There's three things here, and I've got to do these three things in 2 minutes, all right? First of all, basically what David is saying here, I've got haters in my life. I got enemies that don't want to see me succeed. Can you relate to David? Do you have people that you feel that are in your life that are not cheering for your success, but they're actually rooting for your failure? Do you feel like you have people in your life? I think David had some people, and he's reminding a soul going, you know what? God is, there's coming a day where he's inviting me to the party, and it's going to be an outdoor party, and I'm going to be the guest of honor, and all my enemies, all the haters, all the people that wanted to see my failure, they're going to have to look at me at the table with the king hanging out eating all the good food. This is that girl that has been bullied by all the mean girls becoming homecoming queen. This is the moment, like, hey, haters, hey, enemies, look at me now. Where are you? You're not even invited to the party, but I'm the guest of honor. Matter of fact, look at this next verse here. It says, you prepared a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest. That is the Lord. When he's leading your life, you are in the inn when all the other people are on the out. Don't ever get that confused. Let's go back to that verse again before that. It says, you've anointed my head with oil. The most dangerous part of your body is your head. Why? Because that's where the thoughts are toxic and bad. And he anoints your head with oil because your transformation is going to happen in the renewing of your mind. I got to go to the next one because we got to get down here. He anoints my head with oil. That's the next one. And he gives me life. That's the next one. Let's go to the last one, guys, and wrap it up. Is that the last one? That's it. And I'm going to live with him forever. That's number 12. So that's it. I'm out of time. And you just got to know that it all comes down to what? It all comes down to, are you just satisfied with just putting him in your pocket? Or are you ready Are you ready to allow him to be your shepherd? To allow him to be your captain? To allow him to be your leader? Would you pray with me? Father, as we dismiss tonight, God, I pray for each and every person that's here, God. And I know that for the first 4 years of my relationship with you, God, you were pocket Jesus. And it wasn't until I came to this church and realized that you didn't want to just be in my pocket, but that you wanted me in your pocket. So help anyone here that may be in that same position I was in. And God, if there's people that are far from you tonight, God, I pray that you would use this message to really restore their soul as they surrender their life to you. And if you're here tonight and you're far from God, you know that you've been battling in your life and this is your night and you need to make Jesus the shepherd of your life, the leader of your life, then as we dismiss, I'm going to invite you to come up here and let these guys pray for you, and they're going to give you some great resources and encourage you in your faith and your relationship with God. But Father, as we dismiss in your love, knowing that God, you are our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our love.